Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for Sunday Morning Alive, a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. We want to thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. If you're shut in and you can't be in church and you've decided to tune in through your computer, a laptop, however you come to us through the World Wide Web, we do not believe in just accidents and incidents. We believe in divine appointments, and we're glad you're here today to hear and give heed to the Word of God. If you're a Christian, we welcome you. If you're not a Christian, to gather around the Word of God with us today and see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying by the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God and through this clay vessel today. Amen. I have no illusions of grandeur, no illusions of divinity in and of myself, but in me, in this old clay vessel, dwells the Holy One of Israel, dwells the living God, and dwells the Lord Jesus Christ, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit today. So I want to hear too. My ears are open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church on this particular subject. Three essentials to victory in the last days. Now, we began this teaching in our Let's Talk About Jesus midweek Bible study. We want to go forward with this teaching and combine it with the preaching of the Sunday morning sermon, because I teach and preach and preach and teach. They are interconnected, and this dual anointing is upon me. I've never identified just as a pastor, but a pastor/evangelist, because in our pastoral ministry there has been a strong evangelistic thrust, and that's why God has decided to send His Word to places that we could never go, just if I was an evangelist alone. But being a pastor evangelist and using and utilizing the media and anointed media missionaries and ministers. Media missionaries are those who come to our website and share it with others. The day you share with someone else our website, that if you believe that our ministry can be a blessing to them and you share it, you become an anointed, and I believe appointed, media missionary. And we thank God for all of our media missionaries, those of you who have let us know that you share this with others and it's a blessing to others. And if you are a media ministry here in our area, you are part of the Holy Church of God Incorporated, and you are part of the internet ministry, in effect, our media pastor. That's exactly what you are, and we appreciate you, Brother Doug, today, and we pray that God will continue to send His Word through the media to the world. We're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and there are missionaries all over the world doing just that. We are on a mission that is not just similar, but the same through the media. And we thank God for this vision and those who are technologically able and anointed by God to help us to fulfill the Great Commission. We have a mandate from God. We're on a mission for God, and this is not a Blues Brothers movie quip. This is the truth. God has sent us, and He's sending His Word. And that is the basis for all of our media ministry is Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. He sent His Word. Hallelujah. And that's why you're hearing it today. Psalm 107 and verse 20 is the way that we are keeping the Great Commission. Now, we're on the subject already of three essentials to victory in the last days. And we've covered two of those three, and we saved the third one because it is going to take more time than the first two. We're going to read our foundational scripture in Romans 13, 11 through 14, praying for a spiritual awakening among God's people that we may walk in victory and we may live a life that is beneficial to God to use to reach others in this ever-darkening day called the last days. The last times, the end times that we are living in. Let's look at it together. Romans 13, 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, wake up. This is a wake-up call, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We need to wake up. Verse 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The Bible says in the Old Covenant, awake to righteousness and sin not. We need to clean up. And in that vein, verse 13, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We need to clean up, you see. But third, in verse 14 it says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We need to grow up. Wake up, clean up, and grow up. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I like the Amplified. It said, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature, to gratify its desires and lust. Listen, truly appointed and anointed ministry will lead us in a progressively maturing process, constantly challenging us to become more like our Savior, emphasizing the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Christ, above the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is power for service. The fruit of the Spirit is so that we can grow more and more in our character like His holy character. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, and this is the mandate and mission of the fivefold ministry in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. He said in the church, let's look at 11 through 15. And He gave some, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here's verse 14, listen, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I like the Amplified more. Take time to read it from the Amplified, that it might develop until we all, this is not for a few super saints, super spiritual ones, but every single child of God in the body of Christ, until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood in the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. You see, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's what it means. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in Him. So then, we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children. I like the paraphrase. It says, no longer children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or cleverly lied to us. Another paraphrase says, no prolonged infancies among us. We will not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easily prey to predators. We don't want to see people, I've used the term, and it's tongue-in-cheek. Yes, it's a little bit trite, but it just no longer spiritual children, no longer Christianettes who live in spiritual bassinets because all they get on Sunday is sermonettes. We're supposed to desire to grow. We're supposed to want to grow up, not just grow old as Christians. Spiritual children, you see, are not prepared for the deception that will signify the soon coming of Jesus and mark the last of the last days. Matthew 24:11 says, and many false prophets shall arise, and they shall deceive many. Spiritual children are easily misled. Children only want their way rather than God's will. And you can see what this spiritual immaturity, how it's going to manifest in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. You see, if we don't put on Christ as mature saints of God and we don't crucify the lust of our flesh, listen to what we're going to do. After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The Amplified says wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing to their own desires. This deception is nothing new, but it will intensify in the last time, the last days. Isaiah 39:10, listen to it. This is a rebellious people, lying children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. No wonder many shall be deceived because of this attitude. They are clearly asking to be deceived, giving place to the devil, opening the door, heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears. This attitude of rebellion will allow deception to blind to the truth. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 once again verifies this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, distinctly, clearly, that in the latter times, these last days, you see, some shall depart from the faith. What faith? The faith that was once delivered to the saints, built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, not the personalities of false teachers and preachers and false prophets. Listen, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The devil loves to appear as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Doctrines of devils being deceptively interwoven with enough truth to make it believable. Speaking lies, verse 2 says, in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as a hot iron. One translation says, they will lie with straight faces until they begin to believe their own lies. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Peter 2:1 warns us, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. When anyone teaches that there's another way to forgiveness and reconciliation to God, they are denying, dear friend, the blood of Jesus Christ as the only acceptable sacrifice for our sin. They are denying that the death of Christ as the only atonement for our sin. Jesus is our Lamb, His blood our sacrifice sprinkled on the mercy seat. His blood has paid our ransom, and we are redeemed. Solo Cristo, and He alone can save us. He truly is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to declare today I'm a narrow-minded and cross-eyed preacher. I still preach Jesus is the way to God and Christ alone. I still preach Jesus and Him crucified as the centerpiece of the gospel. This is why we must grow up, wake up, yes. We need to wake to righteousness and sin not. We need to clean up. And friend of mine, we desperately need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. But it's very clear in Scripture. We do not stay on the milk. We move forward to the meat of the Word. Paul said this about immature Christians. I couldn't give you meat because you could not bear it. Therefore, I fed you with milk. And I speak this to your shame. He said, when you should be out ministering to others, you still are needy. You still need someone to minister unto you. What are the first principles of the oracles of God? You're on the foundation, but you're staying on the foundation, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works, but growing, hallelujah, growing up, building on that foundation, as important as the foundation of baptisms is and all the other principles and traditions are given to us by God. They're not to camp out on. They're to build upon. And it's this building upon this strong, firm foundation of truth that we grow. And we have to have a desire for the milk to begin with, but we have to drink enough of the milk that we grow enough. Amen. That we start wanting some meat, my brother and my sister. I want the meat of the Word of God. I want to keep growing in the Lord. Hallelujah. How about you today? We need to grow up in God. We're not ready for the deception of the last days. We don't have the discernment that we need. See, discerning Christians are waking up. They're cleaning up because they are growing up and because Jesus is coming very, very soon. If we don't begin to bring the meat of the Word to God's people, if we keep them on milk, they are not prepared for the deception of the end times. They will go be tossed to and fro, the Bible said, with every wind of doctrine. That's how you know the immaturity. How many people are following clearly, biblically substantiated false teachers today, carrying Bibles? And many of them don't even carry a Bible because they're not studying the Word of God. They cannot discern good from evil, particularly when evil and wicked ones are portraying themselves as ministers of light and preachers of righteousness. The Bible said that we should be people that are able to discern. We should grow, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow. But we should graduate to the meat of the Word that we may know. You see, when you grow, you start to know. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that have matured. It will grow us up. And that we will be able to discern by the exercise of our senses as we mature. You may not be a theologian and know everything about every doctrine and how it's supposed to be presented, but there will be a flag. There will be a flag. You'll hear something, it will not resonate, and you'll be wondering, and I pray you'll go to the Word of God. I pray you'll open the Bible. You know, the Holy Spirit is not to just make us spiritually elite people because we are baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of truth, the Scripture said. And when He comes, He's going to guide us into all truth. And the Bible says in John 8, Jesus teaching red letter, John 8, 30 and 31, if you continue in My Word, you'll know the truth. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God is truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And our Father God is a God of truth. In Him there's no variableness, no darkness at all, not even a shadow of turning. Praise God. Amen. I want to see God's people wise up. I want to see them rise up. I want to see them wake up. I want to see them clean up. And I want to see them grow up. Praise God. I'll tell you, get in the meat of the Word of God, you're going to grow. And it's not how long you've been a Christian that this takes place. It's not how long you've been on the road, therefore, but how far have you traveled? What progress have you made? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or of baptisms and other things that we need as foundations. We're not denigrating the foundations. We're saying the foundation is to build on, not to just camp out on. Praise God. Amen. Friend, I want to be challenged. I used to be a gym rat in a galaxy far, far away and a time long, long ago. I used to go 4 days a week because I had health issues. Part of it was the kind of lifestyle I was living. I wasn't eating right, sleeping right. I was breaking physical laws, and it began to affect my ability to minister because of my health issues that were arising. That's a long story I don't want to get into right now. It wasn't just physical. It was also mental and became spiritually challenging to me as well. But I'm going to tell you something. When I started going to the gym, and I didn't start on my own. My wife signed me up because she saw what was happening to me. But when I got in the gym and I started going regular, then some of the serious professionals, professional wrestler, professional powerlifters, internationally known powerlifters and professional bodybuilders worked out in that particular. I didn't choose that gym. It wasn't a gym for, you know, executives and just people who were not seriously committed. This was a seriously committed gym, and I learned what it meant to be seriously committed. But my muscles had to be challenged in order to grow. And when I would be lifting something and struggling, someone would come over when they saw my commitment to show up all the time. They'd come over and said, "Come on, Preacher Bob." They call me Preacher Bob. Hallelujah. They said, "Come on, Preacher Bob, you can do it. You get one more rep." The more they challenged me, and I needed that. I just went in mainly to, you know, lose a little weight and tone up. I had no aspirations of getting on stage and showing off some muscles, but I did want to live healthy, take care of the temple. Amen. So I could preach and take care of my family and take care of the ministry needs with health in my body. But they saw that and they came over and said, "Come on." I remember one man who had won several awards, and he was huge. He was ginormous. He had muscles where I don't have places, but he took an interest in me and he said, "Come on, Preacher Bob, you can do it." And I was working out with dumbbells and not them. Amen. Praise God. He could hurt me bad. No, I'm talking about that you hold in your hands, and I was on an inclined bench and I was bringing them up for chest muscles, and I was clanging them together, and he gently put his hands under my elbows just to give a little encouragement. And then he said these words. He said, "Pretend the devil is right between those dumbbells." I clanged them together. Amen. Hallelujah. They respected my faith. They respected me as a minister of the gospel. They respected me for coming in and letting being challenged enough to add more weight and to do more serious work in that gym. And I began to build muscle where I didn't have places, not to show off, but just so I could be healthy and a healthy weight and minister without almost dying from all of the neglect of not only prayer, because I was too busy preaching to pray effectively, and not only that, but also to sleep. Give things to God so I could sleep and get my rest and recharge my batteries. Amen. And so that I could preach the gospel under a strong anointing and not have it drain me so completely. Amen. And I knew what it meant to begin to be challenged, and through being challenged to grow. Now, don't look for a church. If you want to grow up, don't look for a church where you are not challenged, that you are not challenged to become more and more like your sovereign and your King, Jesus Christ. I still am challenged. I have listened to something on the radio, a radio minister that was challenging me, and I have literally pulled my car over if I had time to spare. I would try to make time to pull my car over and be challenged and just park for 10 more minutes and get that challenge that I needed, because I know if I allow God to continually challenge me to come up higher, I'm going to grow more and more like my sovereign and my King. And they're going to see more of Jesus and less of me as I as I live out my faith anywhere and everywhere that I go. Praise God. It's time to grow up. I don't care how many people follow some minister that has already went off the rails and is not staying true to the scripture. I will not follow them because so many follow him. Jesus put it this way, if the blind lead the blind, everyone ends up in the ditch in error. A friend of mine, it doesn't matter how many blind people follow a blind leader. Evil men and seducers, waxing worse and worse, becoming exponentially worse and worse, deceiving, listen, and being deceived. What is the sudden judgment? God allows that spiritual blindness, that truth rejected, that truth deviated from knowingly until now. They actually they tell the lie so much, they believe the lie themselves. What a judgment has fallen to allow them to go deeper into the darkness because they have rejected the light. What light? Thy word, David said, if in the Psalms, is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. And Jesus said, if you walk in the light, amen, hallelujah, if you walk in the light, as I am in the light, he said, the blood will continually keep you clean, keep you sanctified. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, growing up in God means getting more and more light. For the path of the just is like a shiny light, exponentially, again, getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Praise God. Are you walking in the light today? Is the Word of God a lamp unto your feet, a light to your path, that you might constantly, when push comes to shove, choose the path of righteousness? Hallelujah. Choose to not be led into temptation, but to be led into a life of light, liberty, and love. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. Experientially, spiritually, by revelation, personally, by application. Praise God. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And I'm going to tell you something else the truth will do, dear friend. It will keep you free from the deception and the error of the false teachers and preachers, even if Satan himself, if an angel of light come to you. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. But when that angel opens his mouth, if he says things to take people away from the saving grace of Christ and Jesus as the only way to God, we let him be anathema. Let him be under the strongest curse and consternation of God. We don't pronounce it. God pronounces it. But we resist and reject even angels that bring another gospel. You have to be mature. If an angel of light appears and starts giving you the quote-unquote revelation that is different from that has been established through the apostles, the prophets, with Christ as the chief cornerstone, no other foundation can any man lay. Therefore, no angel can lay another foundation either. Friend of mine, if we're going to judge angels and what they say, we ought not to let the personalities of men or women sway us. We need to get in the Word. We need to get the Word in us. We need to start on milk, but not stay on milk. We need to build upon this strong, unmovable foundation. In spite of all the pressure and all the deception, the Scripture says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Hallelujah. You can build on it. And if you build a life of obedience to the Word of God, and thereby the will of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will abide forever. And those that doeth the will of God are just as eternal as His Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Friend of mine, challenge me. Challenge me. I won't open the Bible to be challenged. I'm still growing. I'm up in years. Yes, I'm not growing physically. My bones are settling. I've lost an inch. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Spiritually, I'm still growing, and I'm going to keep on growing until Christ comes or calls me to Himself. And when He does, amen, when He comes, we're going to know Him as He is, for we are going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Right now, there's a progressive change toward that end taking place. But then, face to face, it's going to be come to its climax. Mortal will put on immortality, corruptible, thank God, will put on incorruption. We won't have to fight with the flesh any longer. Praise God. Amen. What a day that will be. Amen. And we will know Him, for we shall be like Him. And thereby we can be presented to Him as a beautiful bride without spot or blemish, but perfectly holy on that day. Right now, we are growing. Then we'll be glowing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, let's grow in God. Let's grow strong in God. Stand up, stand up. You soldiers of the cross, praise God, rise up, rise up, O men of God, and be done with earthly things. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no more provisions for the flesh. Reckon yourself, count yourself. It's a mathematical term. Count yourself as dead. You know, owe no allegiance. The flesh will cry out to sin, to just put the focus on self, so that we will not deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Christ. Friend of mine, we owe no allegiance to the flesh. We owe all allegiance to our Sovereign and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to hear Him say, well done. In all these struggles of life, in all of the faults and failures that I have, I'm still striving for that day for Him to say to me, well done. It's more important to me than gates of pearl, more important to me than streets of gold and a mansion that's unimaginable. To hear Him that gave His life for me say of my life here, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. That's not sinless perfection, but it is a representation of a devotion. I said, Lord, I have striven and strive my life to honor You, reverence You, and represent You well. Right here in this old sin-darkened, fallen world, that I may say to others, follow Me as I follow Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, He's calling you. I know He is. I know He is. I know He is. We haven't preached just a salvation message. but we have preached a message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who is right where you are right now. And something in this message to us as Christians, this challenge to us, is challenging you right now. Come to Jesus and be saved.